This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester. Yeah.
All right, we're going to continue to talk about the Dolphins and the Bills. Sunday, a game you'll be able to hear on ESPN Rochester with pregame starting at 9. He is the host of the Locked On Bills podcast, Joe Marino, in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Joe, how are you, bud?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, the Bills have a chance to go 2-0 this week. If we can kind of start with what you saw last week from Josh Allen, ball security aside, because we've talked about that a lot, and certainly that is important, but how much of a jump would you say, if at all, did Josh Allen make here from last year? What did your eyes, what did the film tell you in evaluating Josh Allen's week one performance, Joe?
I think the two things that I was hopeful to see from Josh Allen this year to take that next step was being more efficient as a passer and distributing the football, and then obviously improving his consistency with throws deep down the field. And in terms of the deep passing, he completed 4 of his 5 passes that were targeted more than 20 yards from the line of scrimmage, and so you can check that box at least for 1 week. And as far as distributing the football, I mean, he goes out and completes 71% of his passes, and we're talking about on 46 attempts. He completed 33 of them. I think there were 6 different Buffalo Bills players with at least 2 receptions. And obviously getting those top 3 receivers heavily involved in the game plan, you saw efficiency throwing the football to Stephon Diggs. 8 out of 9 targets completed in their first NFL game together. And so in a situation where the run game wasn't going to work, obviously you have a Jets defense and a Jets team overall that if there's anything they do, it's stop the run. Where Josh Allen had to be the offense, and he went out and produced 91% of the Bills' total offensive yards. And you'd love to see the young franchise quarterback take steps in the two areas that I thought were most important, and then take on a role for that game where he had to do so much for the team to win the football game. And so I know that there's a lot of talk about the 2 fumbles. Everyone's disappointed in the John Brown throw and the Dawson Knox throw, but when you run 81 plays on offense, you know, there's going to be a few that you want to have back. And I think overall, Josh Allen played very well in week one.
It's funny. I think we as fans forget playing quarterback in the NFL is freaking hard. Yeah. It's going to happen. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, joining us in the sports bar. Joe, if we knew that the Jets secondary was a weakness last week and that you could throw the ball a little bit more, rational coaching would dictate that you probably run the ball a little bit more. Do you expect that this will be a Singletary Moss kind of day for the Bills against Miami?
Well, you know, you have to look at this Miami Dolphins defense and how much they struggled stopping the run against the New England Patriots. New England ran the ball for over 200 yards in the Week 1 game. In fact, 217 yards on 42 rushes, that's over 5 yards a carry. You got to find out if they've got this fixed or not. Now, I don't envy Miami. That's a tough assignment. You're going up against an offense that has featured Tom Brady for, 20 years. And you have no idea what a Josh McDaniels offense looks like with Cam Newton and that personnel. So a difficult task for the Miami Dolphins in week one. And you can't just say, well, you knew Cam Newton was going to run the football. It's not that simple. You have to understand how and what keys are important to defending that. So a difficult task for Miami in week one. But I still think you've got to stress that and find out if they fixed it. Now, what's interesting is you kind of look at this Miami Dolphins defense, and they've got 3 good cornerbacks in Byron Jones and Xavier Howard, and then one of their 3 first-round picks, Noah Igbinoghene, 3 good man coverage corners. They've got some safeties that play matchup-specific type things and kind of the right type of makeup of a secondary to handle the Bills' weapons, right? I mean, I think they were very deliberate in how they assembled this secondary to match up with the Bills, who, you know, are an emerging team in the AFC East, and obviously the Dolphins want to make some noise here very soon. And you know, NFL teams build their rosters to win their division first. And so I thought Miami was pretty deliberate with their counter moves to combat what the Bills offer at receiver. So it'll be interesting. But we want to see if that run defense is fixed for Miami. You built an offense now with Diggs and Brown and Beasley, and you want to throw the football, and you got to find out if that's going to be able to work against a much better secondary than you faced in week one.
Yeah, Joe, I was surprised last week that the Bills used so much four wide. That's like, wow, this is a modern Bills offense. And yes, I think we all expect the Bills to run the ball, but for this Bills offense, what is the better formation to run out of? Because, yes, maybe you see the tight end a lot more this week. Maybe you see two tight ends, but is it better to spread the field out and run four wide and then let Devin open up space for Singletary? In today's NFL, which is the better format to run the ball out of?
Well, I think what's exciting about that idea, no matter how you take it, the Bills' identity on offense is that they don't have any identity, and that they can do what it takes week to week to adjust to that unique football team that they're facing. And, you know, I watched the all 22 of the Bills Jets game and, you know, wanted to kind of find out what answers I could find for why the Bills struggled running the football in a traditional sense. And when you're running out of 10 and 11 personnel and the defense is still keeping six guys in the box, it's difficult. And even when they had the tight end in, Dawson Knox served as more of a wing type player, as an H-back more than as a traditional inline blocker, so you just don't have guys spaced out very much. And so I don't think it was an issue with the Bills offensive linemen not being able to move bodies to create space. There just was limited space to work with from the beginning. And so, you know, you take that to this next game here, and I do think that there's a chance that you can see a bit more 12 personnel, a little bit less, you know, four wide, but at the same time, that's what led you to 27 points last week and over 400 yards of offense. It's a different defense. They play stylistically different, but I think you got to take the stuff that has made you successful and figure out some ways to challenge this defense in ways that you feel like you can find advantages. It's a differently built defense than what the Bills faced last week.
Joe Marino from the Locked On Bills podcast on ESPN Rochester. Joe, no Matt Milano, no Tremaine Edmonds. We know Sean McDermott's defense is predicated on a lot of gap discipline and knowing where you need to be. Their loss is probably going to hurt the Bills. Is it detrimental to the Bills to the point where Miami can exploit it? What did you learn about Miami, and what do they have that might cause some headaches for the Bills given these losses?
I think if there's any positives that you want to draw, obviously you want Edmonds Milano for sure. There's no question there. But when you look at Miami, you're talking about a team with a new offensive coordinator in Chan Gailey, four out of five new starters at offensive line, including two rookies, their left tackle and their right guard, both rookie players. And then you have a backfield situation where I don't think they know exactly how they want to use their running backs yet. I mean, Jordan Howard, Matt Breida, they've got Patrick Laird, Miles Gaskin wind up getting like almost 15 touches last week. So they're still figuring out how to run this offense with that personnel. It's a quick turnaround. I don't envy any team that had to install a new offense going into this year, and that's the case with the Miami Dolphins. And I know Fitz and Chan have a ton of familiarity, but that matters, but it only matters so much when the other, 13, 14 guys that you play on offense don't have that familiarity and they don't have time on task under their belt. So while Edmonds and Milano are certainly a loss for the Bills' defense, maybe some of that is offset by so many new pieces in Miami in just their second game.
It's interesting to me because I know Sean McDermott's not going to tell us, and even if they put out a depth chart, we couldn't believe it, but who is going to fill in, say, for the Milano role? Could they possibly drop down, say, a Dean Marlowe or a Saran Neal? What kind of options are there, Joe, and how do you think Sean McDermott plays this?
Well, I think you have an opportunity to play more matchup-specific stuff. So while I think we'll see A.J. Klein and Tyrell Dotson as the two linebackers on the field, first of all, let's get this out of the way. The Bills run base nickel defense. They didn't have three linebackers on the field for a single play last week. So this is a two-linebacker defense. And so, you know, you're going to see Klein and Dotson. And then I think if you want to go in with some different looks, you do take advantage of Dean Marwell, a guy who's had a ton of familiarity with the scheme. In fact, he's the longest tenured player in Sean McDermott's defense because they go back to 2015 in Carolina. So they, you know, they certainly know each other. Cerron Neal, you think about him at Jacksonville State, he played corner, outside and inside, safety and linebacker. So maybe you tap into some of that versatility. But last week, Miami run a ton of two-back sets. And, you know, it's a unique situation based on that. I mean, you don't see a lot of that in the NFL. And so, you know, maybe you do have some opportunities here to get more versatile with your safeties. And I think, if anything, this puts a little bit more on Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer at safety to trigger and be a little bit more aggressive attacking downhill. And, you know, Fitz is not a player that likes to open up the throw the football down the field. We know that Chan Gailey's offense plays things pretty tight to the vest. I think they maybe targeted one pass beyond 20 yards last week. So I think you have to try to play up a little bit. And if Fitz hits balls down the field against you, I think you just kind of have to live with that.
Joe, what about the Dolphins' backfield? It's revamped from last year. It was a terrible, terrible running game last year for the Dolphins. But with Jordan Howard, now Matt Breida, maybe there's a little bit of life there. What did you see in week one against the Patriots out of that Dolphins' run game? And are they going to be a threat to the Bills in week two?
Well, they didn't get off to much of a start. 27 rushes, 87 yards. And they want to be a power run offense. All of those offensive linemen are like over 320 pounds. I mean, just big dudes. And guys that, you know, they want to complement the horizontal passing game, the horizontal spread passing game with power running game. And what that does is just provides you with difficult situations because you need speed and range to take advantage of or to counter some of that horizontal spread. But when they hit you with these big old offensive linemen and want to attack downhill against the run, you sacrifice something by having those rangy guys on where you need kind of those more downhill big players to go into the line of scrimmage. And so it's a really unique contrast of styles and how they blend their run game and pass game. But at the end of the day, we're talking about four new offensive linemen, two rookies. The Bills spent a lot of money and a lot of resources in building this defensive line to go really 8-9 deep in quality NFL caliber defensive ends and defensive tackles. And I think that's where you have to rely on the work that you've done to build this roster and understand, well, they want to get downhill and get after you. That's why you built this defensive line 8 deep, and you want to freshly rotate guys in and out. You like to think that in you know, game number 2 of all these new offensive linemen in this new offense with all these new running backs, that the Bills have done what they needed to this offseason to build a defensive line specifically capable of neutralizing that rushing attack.
Yeah, for that reason, are you at all concerned? And I would guess the answer would be no here, but it not having your second round pick dress opening game, your thoughts on AJ Epineza not dressing there, and should we expect maybe this would be a week you might work him in?
There's a chance. Here's the thing. I wasn't surprised Epineza was inactive. That was something I talked about it 3 different times in the podcast last week, just trying to get people ready for it because I anticipated this happening. I mean, typically an NFL defense dresses 4 defensive ends, and you've got Mario Addison, Jerry Hughes, Trent Murphy as your top 3. And then you have Quentin Jefferson, who can play some defensive end. And then you also have Darryl Johnson, and Darryl Johnson played 22% of the defensive snaps last year for this football team, and he was a 4-phase special teamer. Well, A.J. Epineza doesn't play any special teams, and so when you're talking about your 4th/5th defensive end, they better be able to bring some value on special teams. And what this really is, in my view, is a signal of the Bills finally being at a point in terms of roster construction where they're not relying on rookies to immediately start. I mean, going back to 2017, whether it was Trey White, talking about first and second round picks, Trey White, Deion Dawkins, Zay Jones, Cody Ford, Ed Oliver, Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, all of these guys had to start day one. This is a deep football team that's not required anymore of their rookies, and they can actually let the board follow them and pick the best player available regardless of position because they're set. And I think that's a testament to the depth of the football team, where this team is at in its life cycle in terms of building itself into a team that's poised to compete. And A.J. Epineza is going to get his time. And you think about Trent Murphy's an expiring contract. You've got Hughes and Addison, who are both into their 30s. The Bills can save money by cutting them next offseason. So he'll get his chance, but it's just a different point in Buffalo Bills history where rookies, second-round picks, don't have to play right away.
He's Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast here on the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia getting ready for Bills-Dolphins Sunday morning pregame at 9 here on ESPN Rochester. Joe, give us a little prediction. What are you thinking for Sunday? What's the outcome?
You know, I think the thing that makes me most nervous for the Bills on Sunday is that you're going down. It's going to be 88 degrees with 80% humidity, so it's going to feel like it's in the 90s. It's going to be sticky. The Miami Dolphins are going to be in the shade in their all white uniforms. The Bills are that visiting sideline at Hard Rock Stadium puts you right in the sun all game long. The Bills have to wear a blue jersey. I don't like any of those dynamics for the Bills. With that said, because the Bills have so much returning to this football team, and there's so much turnover, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, I think something like 11 new starters, seven on defense, four on offense, four of the Miami Dolphins, even more with the running backs. I think they're probably 12, 13 new starters. I think that this is not the right time of year for the Dolphins to face a Bills team that has so much returning. I like the Bills overcoming the heat and getting 2-0 on Sunday.
Joe, one point I'd like to make and get your thoughts on this. I thought that game last week was never in question. Yet there were the Bills leading 21-10 in the fourth quarter. I'm just shaking my head. What is it with this team in terms of a malaise in the third quarter? Is it just coincidental? Is there something? Is that a cause for concern here with the Buffalo Bills?
I think the Bills got to be a better third quarter team. I think if I'm not mistaken, they're averaging like 3 points per game in the third quarter since the start of last season, and they got to get better at it. I think some Bills fans mistakenly call this a team that lacks a killer instinct, which I don't think is true. I think it just becomes an execution problem. I mean, look at last week. I mean, two missed field goals, the two missed touchdown throws. I mean, the Bills should have been in the mid-30s when it comes to points. And so I think it's a point of emphasis, I'm sure, for Coach McDermott. He's aware of it. But, yeah, this team's got to stop coming out flat after the half and you know, play to their capabilities to, you know, maybe not have so many interesting football games.
He is Joe Marino. Joe, let our audience know where you're, where we can hear more of your work, see more of your work.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter at TheJoeMarino. And, of course, a daily podcast on the Buffalo Bills. Locked On Bills is the name of it. You can find it on any podcast medium that you like.
And put a Marino on before the Bills game. Dolphins. You never heard that one before, right?
Never. Never. Right? No, so. It's a Bills guy covering. Yeah. No. Yeah. Joe, great stuff as always. Enjoy the weekend. Let's talk again soon.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Marino, always bringing it into the sports bar. Great insight there. Getting you ready for Sunday. You fired up?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad he brought out the fact, too, that the Bills are primarily running nickel there. So when you say the Bills are down, you know, for the three line, yeah, you don't need three linebackers in this defense, really. How good is this system that Sean McDermott has set up? Because Dotson and Klein, sure, that's not exactly, the guys that are ahead of them, but I would think they should be okay here for a short stretch.
I'll drink to that is on the way next. We've got some takes on tap. I will tell you the team that the Miami Dolphins are modeling their rebuild after, Gene.
There was an athlete that said to Rochester, you know what, forget you. And it's paid off. And I want to be mad. I want to be upset. But he is now enjoying it. That's a little mind bender there for you. Who am I talking about? And then a moment last night in the broadcast, the Bengals-Browns game, that just reminds me that, my gosh, they'll let anybody in the Hall of Fame these days.
I'll drink to that is on the way next. Takes on tap and your phone calls as well. 585-454-ESPN. 585-454-3776. You're in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia. ESPN Rochester.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.